So thanks, Kate, and thanks everybody for being here, because our group is always, we keep growing, but we hope we can get growing even bigger. So I'm going to talk about the ginkgo. Ginkgo. So we recently found this kind of issue here, so that's why we just brought issue to the group, and this project we funded by the USDA special crop kind of block grants from Minnesota Department of Agriculture. So what many of us, we know ginkgo, I think, and if we talk about ginkgo, this is just an outline, a little bit introduction about ginkgo, and then what the safety issues to use the ginkgo, especially because ginkgo is grown in the city urban forestry part, so that's what we're looking at into it. And many heavy metals, and also the ginkgo toxin compound. So that's the part where we work in our conclusion. So everyone, if you know the ginkgo, it looks like this, right? On the street or in your yard, and then cover plants look beautiful, and that's the ginkgo. It's considered one of the most commonly used in landscape plants that had no diseases. Almost disease-free. So far, I visited all the countries, all the places, only see one area, had a very small area, only had one insect eat the edible leaves. But no, it's kind of disease-free. And then this sort of brought into this country like 100 years ago, but it really spread out. It's the 1960s, 1970s, because of the big kind of insects damage of the American landscape plants, American elm. So, and then all the elm wept down, and then they started to grow all the ginkgo trees and the main streets. That's so in the U.S. So if you look at this, I just put it here together, and it's originally, this species originally, it's kind of survived from Ice Age and originally from China. And then the biggest tree so far, if you look at this one, it's about like 3,500 years old tree, so it's all often to grow in the temples, and then so that's a tree, and then this is the only one we believe it's a semi kind of a wired. It's not really complete wired, but it's a wired. It's called, we call this the five generations together, because this one big trunk and died and got branches and branches. It's all five generations of this plant. So that's just called. So this plant can live really, really long. And it's perfect for landscape, and because of this color, and also disease resistant. And then in the US, if we use this ginkgo tree, used as also commonly used as a landscape plants here, we adapted to many. So almost all the cities in the North American, so the big cities, they have grown some of the ginkgo plants, especially for the center, Midwest center region. So most of the cities have a lot of these plants. So if you look at how many plants we grow in so in Minnesota, introduce how many plants we have. So that's why we just raised this question, and we start to pay attention to the plants and how we can keep these plants for a longer run. So this plant, basically male plant and the female plants separate, and then because it belongs to the angiosperm, so this, the ovules have no covers. Once it develops seeds, it's a seeds, liquid seeds. Okay. So when you look at, so that's how it looks like. So that's leaves, and then this is actually each one is a seeds. And the seeds look like fruit. So it's first layer, kind of flesh layer. So and then the second layer look like a woody shears, and the third layer membrane layer. That's all the seed coat, and then the embryo inside, and also the endosperm out inside. So this is the part many use for medicine and food. So we said, always said, actually food and medicine shared same source. So in China, so we most get this idea. And the seeds kind of develop into this. Okay, the raising the question. So we mostly we use this as medicine, and here the author said the outer sea cold, it's super stinks. So when the gas season comes down in the U.S., we don't collect it, but on the street you see all these fruits dropped on the ground. If you happen, I had experience. If you happen to have the same experience like what I did, I would just smear some kind of like a rotten rats surround me all the time for almost 1 week. I was trying to figure out what's going on there. But eventually I found that I stepped on one of the seeds, and then it's just like a rotten fish or rotten and rats just surrounding, smeared so strongly, very strong smear. So that's the reason. So in many places like in Minnesota, we were, so the only, this it take a long time to mature, to start to get the seeds. So in Minnesota right now, we were having the residents to ask the city, you know, the park board, to remove some of the tree from their yard because the tree gets dropped the seeds and it smells so bad. So what the cost of replacing one 8-inch diameter that the mature tree is valued from $3,000 to $16,000. If you really want to replace the same size of tree, it can cost about $16,000 for each tree, $17,000 each tree. So, which doesn't include the kind of other beneficial from these plants. It's not only landscape beautiful and also kind of like a release the oxygen or other beneficial for the city. Yes. And that's a good question. Basically, why they plant so many plants in the city, you know, at the beginning. So why? Because so this, the beginning, there are two things. One is because of American elm, and the elm tree is being wiped out, nationwide wiped out by the kind of diseases. So it's a signature tree for American landscape, and then to wipe out. So, and once you wipe out, they start to look for all different kind of trees to replace the trees for the urban forest part, which come out a number of selections, and so one of these come out, stand out, so it's ginkgo, because there's no disease. Because we don't want to have more diseases, and then this tree have no disease, so why not we just get grow this? But because of the tree, it took a very, very long time from the, you know, the journey time to about like 25 to 30 years. So when you grow the first, and then people always say, we are going to grow a mirror tree. So that way we don't have the seeds drop out and then they get it. But some of those trees initially they say, okay, don't have any of those female seeds, but it's actually a female tree. When you grow and then after 30 years, you find out it's a female tree. No, but it's already there. So that's how it came. So that's, if you see here, that's from our university campus. So I think many of the students in on campus get a step on one of those and bring into the classroom and stink the whole room. Okay, that's why we're trying to see how it's work. But another side of the world, in China, in Japan, Korea, and this is actually heavily used for medicine and for food. So this is, so once you drop it, everyone collect it, and then they basically process it, and then they use it for either nuts, so it's kind of a salted nut, and also it's actually two of the very famous Chinese food dishes, and then it contributes to the ginkgo nuts. Okay, so those are, and the value for ginkgo nuts and as a special crop is about $3 billion in China alone. So that's annual the crop. So that's a, So we're looking back to our city, say, okay, so that maybe, and then we have seen here, so this is just the map of distribution for the mature trees in Twin Cities of Minnesota. It's only Twin Cities of Minnesota. We have about 7,000 of mature trees and distributed in Twin Cities of Minnesota. So about like over 2,500 trees, female trees, and along those female trees, which we don't count most of the part, we don't count those immature trees, like the little trees, we're not counting it. And we don't count those trees that are growing in the prairie land. If you think about some trees that grow on the prairie land, it's actually even more than the public land. Okay, so that means at least double the amount of the trees in Twin City area. So if you calculate this, so this is just that under Ruth Street, and then it's produce a lot of seeds, and the seeds drop on ground, and the people don't like it because they don't harvest it and don't use it, and then it's just environmental hazard. So people just say, I don't like it. I want to get to cut my tree. And I'm willing to pay $3,000 yourself, and then I'm going to cut it. But we're trying to see whether or not we can save those trees, because those trees, they're the beneficial trees. So that's what we're trying to see. Okay, so on average, the nut costs about $3.99 in the retail price, and the warehouse price is about like $2.5 per pound. So we counted, we're very conservatively counting, so, but each tree we put like about 100 pounds of nut you can harvest. And I just count, we just don't count much, but count just 2,000 trees. And then that'd be 200,000 pounds of nuts you can collect. So that's just part of the Twin City trees, then you can get $500,000 income just for warehouse sale. And then you get, after collecting, you actually clean the environmental hazard for the city. So that's also people, everyone likes it. You think about this, you parking your car on the street and drop a few of this seeds on your car, and then it smells, or something just stinks with you. So that's what the initial motivation for us. And we use the Twin City as the example. We want to expand this research nationwide, because we hope we can find the mechanism we can just collect this as a special crop and then consume it. Because if you look at it, all of our consumed kinko nuts, even though we have so many trees growing surround us, but all the kinko nuts, Most of the kinko nuts we import from Asian countries. So that's why we say we have something, and we don't use it. We just make it even worse for us, the environment. But why we don't clean it, we use it, and we also save the money to further import the nuts from other countries. So the one thing is, because it's part of urban forestry, so one important thing for us to look at is whether or not it's safe. It's the first thing. So so that's what we were found about, like to discover whether or not this nut is safe for us to use, because urban environment, so urban environment, the most important thing is the heavy metal pollution, and so the question we're trying to ask is whether or not it's safe. And in addition to the kind of policy for the city, say, okay, you guys okay to harvest, because it is a public land, so you have to work on. But that's easy. But on the other part, whether or not it's safe. So that's the question we're trying to see, whether or not it's safe. So if you look at, there are two things we're looking at, the heavy metals of mainly the lead, mercury, and also the ginkgo toxin. Ginkgo toxin, as here it's shown, that ginkgo toxin is ginkgo, in the ginkgo seed, may decrease the activity of those paradoxical kinase. So that will lead to the reduction of vitamin B6 synthesis. And then sometimes if you eat too much, and your fear kind of like kind of unconscious. So that's why if it overeating. So that rule for eating this ginkgo nuts is your age if you're younger than 30. But if you're over 30 years old, that's 30. Okay, so don't eat too much. It's very good, and it's treat for the asthma and other diseases, for long release diseases. But if you eat too much, it might cut your nervous system getting too. But it's actually very easy. If you in case you eat too much, you say okay, not. But you get a problem. Just eat few pills vitamin B6. That's it. So vitamin B6 will be released all the toxin. Okay. So what we did is the heavy metal test. We just go there to collect sample from the tree, the busy street, collect sample, soil sample, and also the seed sample collected, and then we just measure it. So once we collect, how do you collect? Basically, we collect in the air, and we use the kind of like a mixer. So it's just a couple of minutes, and it all came out like this. So it's very clean. And then that's all we just test, and then it's good. It's very clean. So then you dry it and you test this heavy metal part. So we based on the previous condition we survey on the heavy metal. So this is the lead map for the Twin Cities. So if you are on buying a house, you want to know this, whether or not your house is locked on those kind of very heavy pollutes and kind of heavy metal parts. So this is very, it's just level for this. But it's showing that the sample of soil is like a, the very high part is about like less than 200. It's about, yeah. So basically all, even that, so the soil level under the safe, kind of a safety. And also, if we measured all the samples on different parts, the highest we can't, it's come from the very high, kind of pollutes soil land, and about like 35 ppm. So which is, it's really way below the safe level you can consume for those nuts. So the FDA about the safe level is 300 ppm. So that's how we get. So most of them, if especially compared to the one you collected from those like parks, because they're away from the busy street, and it's much more, so the soil is not that polluted, heavy metal. So that's, okay. So, and this just shown that, and again, show the sieve. And, we also measured the ginkgo toxin basically. This just runs through CMS, and this leverage here. So the compared to those two different kinds of sample places, and there's no increase of the ginkgo toxin. So it's still you can use 30 if your age is 30. Okay, so that's it. Okay, so that's so together the conclusion basically to have more levels in both soil and the ginkgo samples and below FDA. So the safety standards, and then the ginkgo toxin levels didn't significantly change. So if you pay a little bit of attention, you can still use it for enjoy those big dishes. The result provide the potential for North American urban grower the ginkgo tree management. Basically, you can collect seeds and become a business. Actually, you can also get funding from the city park because they say, I'm going to clean this for you. Okay, pay me a salary, okay? You can pay me maybe 200,000, and then you can sell it for another half million, which is pretty good, right? So those are something you can consider. This is what we're looking at, okay? So this is the here is my group, and this three guys and chat, and it's Ryan, so many work on this project, and then this being support the USDA. Special crop and block grants, and also through the Department of Agriculture in Minnesota. Thank you. Yeah, it's a good question. So do you also use the leaves? And yes, we test the leaves, but we're the first because we are trying to solve the problem for this kind of like environmental hazard part. So we leaves are okay for it to collect. So at this moment, we're trying to see whether or not the seas problem can be solved, because we're trying to reduce the requesting for us to cut the tree instead of just. So we want to save the trees, but that's so we usually we measure leaves also. Yeah, everything is all below kind of and at the safe level if you use the consumer. Yeah. I know. Yes. No, because this disease is really that the coat actually toxic. That's mainly also yeah. It's also toxic. That's why they don't have any insects, no diseases at all. Yeah.
Can you make the insecticide
from the coat? Bring to another industry. We might be able to kind of like purify some of the compound, can put the insects there. But I don't believe, especially any farmer want to spread this on their crop and experience like this.
You can keep the deer away from
Oh, that's a good idea. Let me try the smears.